T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
More Crash and Keith right now on WEEI.
Wilson deflected. It's reeled in and intercepted on the play by J.C. Jackson. Wilson. Intercepted. Picked off by Adrian Phillips. Third down and 4 to time inside. Wilson. Intercepted. Third of the day. The second today for J.C. Jackson. They need the 48 of the Patriots. Good time and downfield and intercepted. Picked off by Devin.
Those were the sounds of yesterday on CBS with our friend Kevin Harlan as the Patriots got the 25-6 victory. It is Patriots Monday. And hour one, you've already heard from Lawrence Guy. 12:45, James White will be with us. So he's kicked back a little bit, which means more time for us to talk about the Patriots with you at 617-779-7937. Text 37937. And of course, you can always tweet at us. You might be in a place where, hey, you're working, you're listening to the show, but your boss would yell at you, you can't pick up the phone, you want to get something to us, at Gresh Keefe on Twitter. I know that Zach Wilson had the 4 interceptions yesterday, and I know to start the show, at least for me, I was a little amped just in terms of the narrative that is growing around the Patriots offense, and I think we did a good job to add at least a little layer of, okay, understand this, understand that. Well, we're really back to the same thing we talked about last week, aren't we, Keith? The right tackle spot and the offensive line right now has been a problem through 2 weeks.
Unfortunately, it's brutal, and you thought it was going to be a strength of the team. You thought, if anything, Mac Jones is going to have time back there, and the running backs are going to have, you know, places to run, and that hasn't really been the case. Mac Jones, especially in the first half, just was kind of running for his life or had to take a bunch of sacks and just, you know, thankfully didn't turn it over. There's one time almost did, but he didn't turn it over. And it was hard to get anything going because Durant is just getting abused on the right side. Isaiah Wynn doesn't get credited for giving up any sacks, but God, like, he definitely tried. Like, that was a jailbreak on his side too. So
feels like he leads the offense in penalties through 2 weeks.
And there's that. And like, that was one of the things about, and I know we had a couple of Joe Tooney calls already, which I feel like is just revisionist history. But one thing about him is would rarely have penalties. Didn't he go through like 2 seasons like without a penalty
or whatever
the insane number was?
It was something really, really low over the course of his career.
Yeah.
Even.
And so right tackle is a concern, but you're saying, all right, eventually Trent Brown will be back. Left tackle is got to improve. Like Isaiah Wynn, the biggest knock on Wynn the first 2 years of his career was just that he was always out. Like he played, I think, 18 of a possible 32 regular season games. You're like, all right, is the guy going to be available to you? Well, he's been available the first 2 weeks, but he's holding guys and he's letting guys fly by him. So that part's been frustrating because it's hard to give a full assessment of the quarterback play when there's just no time to throw.
Yes.
And so that part has been extremely frustrating both weeks.
Now, I know I'm not ready to jump ahead just yet. We're not on to New Orleans yet.
No.
However, I have a Keith Spiracy.
Oh, let's hear it.
I don't think Trent Brown's playing this week. I think they're going to
try. Save for Tampa.
I think they're going to try to get through this New Orleans game.
But do you
try
just
to
trot
manage
out
it?
Haran or Durant again? I think you have to jumble it up.
And
I don't think you can do that.
And
again,
that's a part of what we can get into with you on the phones at 617-779-7937. Because you're right. Like, they've already done that enough. Now, there is one other player on the Patriots who did play pretty well during the preseason, who might get a turn there, and that might be Yadni Kajust.
Yeah.
who was out.
He's been hurt, right?
He was hurt. He had a hamstring. So they do have him on the roster. Durant is supposed to be a tackle, but also, you know, he really played a lot of guard. Mm-hmm. So I guess in terms of the possibilities, do you want to pull on Wenu away from a struggling Isaiah Wynn and put him on the right side to put in someone new that Isaiah Wynn and then David Andrews are going to have to try to communicate with and get him up to speed? Again, who would have thought that losing Big Trent Brown would have caused this kind of effect?
7 plays into the season, and it's a factor. Now, it's not why they lost week one, right? I mean, they should have won week one with whoever was playing right tackle. And again, yesterday you started the show by saying, you know, kind of complicated. They win 25-6. So if you just say they easily cover the number, let's just round up. They won by 20 points yesterday on the road. They turned over Zach Wilson 4 times. You're like, all right, what's not to like? All right, well, they still scored 2 touchdowns. So the Patriots in 2 weeks have scored 3 touchdowns. Our old buddy Rob Gronkowski has 4 on his own in 2 weeks. So I think that's one of the issues that some are having with this team is they're settling for a lot of field goals. So even when they do move the ball, even when they overcome bad offensive line play, it seems like that it just kind of runs out. And or maybe it's also the offensive line play coming back to bite them once they kind of cross midfield. But that's the thing. If you want to beat the good teams, these field goals are going to have to turn into touchdowns at some point.
Exactly. And not all of them will.
No, of course not.
And not all of them need to. But to the point, there's got to be that kind of growth. And I know coming out of the preseason, we sat here talking about Mac Jones and saying, boy, he hasn't even been with the ones yet. He's been with the ones for 7 plays.
Yeah.
I mean, when you really look at it, it was 7 plays that Trent Brown got in against Miami, and then the calf acted up on him, and they got him out of there. And it just goes to show that when one of the 11 on offense is not working perfectly, how it can really slow down an offense. Like on defense, you might be able to have a defensive lineman or a slot corner or a safety that might be struggling.
Or like Van Noy didn't play.
Well, there you go. And you got guys that can kind of cover that up. But on offense, it's got to be all 11. And I know that it sounds trite. It's coach speak. Come on, you can't cover it up. No, when the right tackle is getting blown by, like he's not even standing there, what is Mac Jones supposed to do? And that was a part of my aggravation this morning of people won more plays down the field. And right now, the only thing that is going to do is put the quarterback in peril because they can't protect long enough for routes to develop down the field.
But also, I feel like that's people trying to like get out in front of what a problem might be. Because in a game against the Jets, where they had 2 field goals, that wasn't really a problem. Like, what did they need? They needed 40 points yesterday? Like, they didn't. At some point, they will. Tampa Bay, they might need 40 points.
To score.
They might.
Or they got to play the best game of keep away in the history of the NFL.
Of all time, right. And you're going to have to do that. To me, I go the other side and look at the defense and say, was it a great game defensively? Or was it a bad rookie quarterback making bad rookie mistakes and a bad offensive coordinator putting the ball in his hands too many times and going away from the run, which they were doing a pretty good job? Ty Johnson, Tevin Coleman, Michael Carter are getting like 5 yards a pop, and they're like, nah, let's chuck it. Like, why? I think they were going to move the ball down the field that way. And then they also had dumb penalties like most bad teams do. And then Zach Wilson just gave him the ball. Like, if he had 2 picks instead of 4, like, the game probably looks a little bit different.
I would agree with you. And look, and I think you're really onto something. And I like what you're putting down here, because when you see 4 turnovers and, yeah, you held them to under 400 yards, you know, when you really look at some of the other kind of metrics that really matters, I think, to defensive coaches. You know, the Jets were 5 of 13 on third down. So that's 38.5%. Which is, it's in the okay category. It's not good. It's not great. It's just kind of okay. But when you think about it within the context of, oh, my God, this kid had no idea what he was doing out there.
It just reminded,
that number doesn't look as good.
It reminded me of the first 8 games of 2019 when everybody was saying, oh, this defense might be one of the best defenses of all time. Like, look at these numbers. Look at these numbers. You're like, all right, let's also look at the quarterbacks real quick. Like, they were facing all second and at sometimes third string quarterbacks. And every even average defense, and I do think this defense is better than average, but even an average defense will take advantage of these bad quarterbacks and these bad offenses. So they did have that, and I just thought, how many times it was like second and one, third and one, you're like, they could just run the ball and pick up the first down here. It's like, nope, we're going to scramble out and then chuck it deep. Zach Wilson got sacked four times. He threw four picks and never really, like, there was no threat of the Jets ever winning that game.
No.
Right? It was just a matter of how badly are they going to lose it, because they were just giving the ball back to the Patriots time and time again.
And it was, you're right. I think defensively, you feel okay with the score.
Yeah.
You love the turnovers, but it wasn't a dominant performance by any stretch of the imagination from the defense. Whichever side of the ball you want to get in on, let's hear it at 617-779-7937 with Gresh and Keefe. Joe and Bill Ricca kicks off the lunchtime hour. Hello, Joe.
Hey, good show, guys. So I just wanted to touch bases on, you know, on Mac Jones. I just think they need to take the governor off the kid and let him try to throw it in there instead of continuing the run game, you know? I think that has a lot to do with that red zone not being productive. I think holding him back is actually hurting him. I think he's pretty accurate when it comes to passing. Why not give him the chance to try to do it in the end zone? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Joe, I mean, we went through a little bit of this, and that's where, you know, the like a penalty for Isaiah Wynn on 2nd and 11 puts you in 2nd and 16. So ball's on the Jet 30-yard line. Do you want 30 yards of chucking it into the end zone? I mean, what is happening in the red zone isn't about, I don't think, it's about Mac Jones being overly cautious.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that there's a little bit of the conservative play calling from the offensive coordinator, because it's about the people around Mac Jones. And we touched on this in the early part of the show. I think it was in hour one. Right now, if you said who have been the best offensive players for the New England Patriots, I don't think you can list three and not have Mac Jones in there.
No, James White to me, and then probably Mac Jones. And again, he's not lighting the world on fire, but he's also not lighting himself on fire like Zach Wilson is.
There you go.
You know, or some of these other rookie quarterbacks have done. I don't forget rookie quarterbacks. Just some of these other young quarterbacks around the league have really struggled, and he hasn't done anything like that. Like, his completion percentage, I jokingly said before the season started, he's not going to complete the same, you know, amount of passes as he did at Alabama. Well, actually, right now he is. Like, right now it's pretty close, right? 75%, 76%, whatever yep. It is. Now, that number should go down, because that doesn't just mean, that's not the be-all, end-all. I know that makes your QB rating look good, but at some point you do need to get the ball down the field. I don't know, yesterday against the Jets is one of those things. Like, let's say they play the Saints and they lose, you know, 28-17.
Okay.
And they run the ball well, and Mac Jones has 180 yards passing. Well, then I would expect full phone lines on how come they're not throwing the ball. They got to keep up with teams, because it's all about the team you're going up against. That's what the Patriots always do. They're very game plan specific. And so they had the game in hand against the Jets. I don't think yesterday or today is the day to be freaking out about Mac Jones throwing it downfield.
And I also think that at the end of the game, they could have thrown the ball around the goal line to be able to get a touchdown that would have made everybody feel good. But when you go and you look at the playbook and you go back, or the game book, and you look at how the Patriots handled that, they got the 1st and 5 from the Jets 5-yard line. And you know what they did? They went 6 offensive linemen.
Yeah.
So they went to a look that I think to this point they really haven't been able to show this year. And those are the kinds of things that you do to get on tape, to be able to know that, okay, when we're back down here again, if we run this formation, then go back and say to the new wide receivers,
right,
the young quarterback, here's what we're going to be able to do off of this at some point when we need to. They didn't need to showboat or scoreboard, so to speak, and put another one up at that time. But I think in terms of growing this offense without saying we're going to push you to grow.
Yeah.
You know, like with Mac, with Wilson, it's like, hey, there's no one else. You're the guy.
Well, that's it.
Here
that's
you're
it.
Trying to grow the group. And I think it requires a little bit of patience, especially when your O-line is playing like me at UMass at 94.
Zach Wilson has to win the game for the Jets, basically. Like, I think when the Jets win, you're going to look down and Zach Wilson's going to, you know, put it together for that one game and do it, because his defense isn't good enough. His skill position guys aren't good enough. Doesn't look like his coach is good enough right now. Whereas Mac Jones, doesn't have to do that. Doesn't have to single-handedly win the game. And, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to complain about that last possession. I mean, they got the ball, like, already in scoring position, and they made the Jets use a timeout. They used the two-minute warning, and then they kicked a field goal. So they held on to the ball for 2-3 minutes. They kicked, and the game was already over at that point, too.
Well, here's the other thing. When you look at the offense as a whole, right, and you think about sort of the steps that they are all trying to take together, didn't in a way we go through some of this every year, even when Tom Brady was here? It was just that guy could be like, all right, we need a big drive, bing, 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 mm-hmm. down the field, we can turn around and go score. Whereas it's a little more methodical, where the play calling has to be a part of it. I mean, hell, we've even seen in opening night, right, against the Cowboys,
right,
Brady shaking off Byron Leftwich, the offensive coordinator,
yeah, yeah.
because that guy knows what he's doing. There's got to be that group growth. And I do think that even when Brady was here, whether you're incorporating new wide receivers or different offensive linemen or different draft picks, there was always somebody that had to be integrated into the offense. This is just the first time in, I don't know, Keith, I mean, maybe since like a 102-03, where you have so many new people that you're trying to figure out how to fit into this offense, because you don't know the wide receivers.
Right.
When N'Keal Harry comes back, what's the expectation? Like, what do we know about him?
Zero.
That's right.
He's coming soon, though. I know that.
That's right.
He'll leave his feet. He'll do that.
He's coming soon, but you have two new tight ends.
I mean, it hasn't been this new in forever, especially because you're talking about the quarterback being new. So right away, last year and this year are the only years you can really compare under the Belichick era. You have a brand new quarterback, but there are also times where you can have the two tight ends weren't on the team last year, two wide receivers weren't on the team last year, backup right tackle wasn't on the team last year. It's Damian Harris and a few of the interior linemen. That's kind of the only holdover, so it is going to take some time to kind of get all in sync.
Let's go to John in the truck, Gresham Keith. Hello, John.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen?
How you doing?
Great, great. How are you guys?
Good.
Lovely.
Awesome. So my point on Mac Jones, and I feel like Bill is holding the reins back on him throwing the ball down the field, is to build his confidence. The more complete passes he makes, the more confident he's going to be. Look at Wilson. Look at Lawrence. How many interceptions did they throw the first two games? Yeah. More than they'd like, I'm sure. You know what I mean?
The four-pack would do it.
For Zach. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, just with all the callers and everybody, they want to see him, you know, release the ball, you know, down the field. But, you know, Bill isn't ready for him to do that, I don't think. And he's holding the reins back a little bit, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, and I also think, again, I mean, they were in a position to win week one. And, again, not to the old, it's close, but they should be 2-0. At least Mac Jones's performance has warranted a 2-0 start to the season.
And I would also ask this, too. For everybody who is screaming about it, doesn't throw the ball down the field, is he missing guys that are open?
I can only think of one. I can think of that one, the week one, Jacoby Myers, third, and I want to say four, in the fourth quarter. They didn't pick it up. They had to settle for a field goal. That's one that I can think of.
And that was the one that hit him in the hands.
Yeah, it hit him like kind of, it was like low,
was
though, by like
low.
A shin.
It was that rollout, that short little.
That's
like,
the one that stands out to me.
Okay, and have we seen replays of a tight end running down the middle of the field, throwing his hand up, screaming, dummy, throw me the ball. Have we seen a wide receiver do that?
No.
Because when people call Mac Jones the checkdown king, that to me is an insult in that they're saying there are people there for him to throw to down the field, but he's not doing it. That's why that is stupid.
Right, and then when they have kind of panned out and showed you the full view, a lot of times where either he takes the sack or he throws it short, guys are covered. Like, I don't think Aguilar, Bourne, Myers are going to be guys that get wildly open all year.
Agreed.
I don't think that's going to be the case.
Let's go to Dan in the car, Regression Keith. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Awesome. I just wanted to say that the Jets quarterback, Zach Wilson, out of those four INTs, two of them, the ball went through the wide receiver's hands both times. So, I mean, that really can't be on Wilson. That's got to be on the wide receiver.
All right. I mean, he still threw the... I mean, I would say the Corey Davis one in particular was a little high and a little hot, but it did go through his hands. So if you're a true number one receiver, you can't let that happen.
Yeah, and Dan,
and
I think...
And then what do you say, the first one?
Yeah, and I think
I guess,
he...
I think kind of batted up in the air.
I think he yelled to McCourty, I'm going to throw it to you.
That one was right to him. That one was right to him. But the other one, even though the receiver got it, like, it was well covered. And that's the other thing. Like, when you're playing with bad receivers, don't you sometimes have to realize what's smart and what isn't? Like, Brady's last year with the Patriots,
yep,
he threw more interceptions than he normally did. And part of that was he didn't have great playmakers. So sometimes the old tip ball or thing, if you don't put it right on the guy, could lead to a turnover.
And couldn't you quibble a little bit with the Jets play calling on the other end? Their first play, first and 10 from their 8, is an 8-yard gain. And then on second and 2, they're throwing it?
No, the play calling sucked for them.
For the Jets?
For the Jets, yes. Yeah. They were running so effectively. The whole game, they really were. They averaged 5 yards a clip.
And by the way, the second drive, Michael Carter, yeah, run for 13, first and 10, 47, interception.
By the way, caller brought up rookie quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence, 4 touchdown passes, 5 picks. Zach Wilson, 2 touchdowns, 5 picks. Mac Jones, obviously, 1 touchdown, 0 picks through their first 2 games. Trey Lance and Fields have played sparingly, but even Fields has thrown 1 pick.
We got some thoughts on the AFC East, some AFC takeaways coming up, and we got to mention Kyle Van Noy's tweet during the game.
Oh, boy.
Which, yeah, I don't know if people are going to necessarily like it a lot. We will get to that and continue with you, but first, here's Shime, who's ready to trend.
Gresh and Keefe.
The more layers you peel, the more I don't stink.
Tell a friend about Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Personal foul, unnecessary roughness, defense number 91. Penalties are half the distance of the goal, automatic first down.
Well, he made the call, so I guess that's the rule.
See, Allen, so you disagree. Allen was pointing to his helmet quickly.
Yeah. Now I'm going to be an old curmudgeon and go, that you can't even fart on guys anymore. They call a flag.
Wow.
You got it Tolstoy earlier. Now we pass gas. Man, we got it all.
That was on the Bills-Dolphins game and the call on CBS. Wow. Don't know who that was.
So Matt, you used to just fart on guys?
Who was it?
Matt Millen,
former Lions general manager. Matt Millen.
Drafted several wide receivers there whilst in Detroit.
I thought he was ill and wasn't broadcasting, but good for him.
That's
that
him.
He's, I mean, colorful guy.
Kicked
that.
Out. Yep.
I don't know how many times he farted on
that poor play-by-play guy.
Well,
probably
either,
most of the game.
Either that or, you know, Al Davis back in the day.
I'm going to be an old curmudgeon and go, that you can't even fart on guys anymore.
I still look at it and you're like, how many, what's the, is it 350 million people in the United States? Is that right? Or am I low on that? 350 million. And yet Trent Green and Matt Millen and Chris Collinsworth are doing games.
You know,
there's got to be better people than that.
You can't even fart on guys anymore.
Yeah.
The cancel culture.
There's got to be better guys.
Shime, you just did a Google.
331 million people.
Yeah. See, okay. I rounded up because I've been using that number for a long time, so I assumed it went higher. 330, that sounds about right. But still, 330 million people, and they're like, yeah, let's stick Matt Millen on the call.
You can't even fart on guys anymore.
And that, I mean, Trent Green, meanwhile, how about one of my favorite parts of Trent Green yesterday was he was like, yeah, you know, this Jets defense is good. Last week they held the Panthers to under 300 yards. 5 minutes goes by.
Yeah, like,
I actually got to hold on. I got to correct myself here. They actually gave up like way over 400 yards.
I wrote it down wrong.
Like,
my bad. At least he did try to own it a little bit.
Yeah.
I think what happens at the pro level is very reflective of what happens at the college level with this.
Yeah.
In that it's not the best people that get it. Like, how many times do we see at ESPN, there's a lot of rinse, wash, and repeat?
Yeah. Right.
So it's like, oh, this guy retired. Here's your 3-year deal. Oh, we realize you suck halfway through, but you're a big name.
Get
and we
there.
Get
Keep
the rub peanut butter all over our nipples because of that. You know what I mean? Like, that's the – I've done games for 15 years with – I mean, no one in America has called more bad football games than me. I admit it, and
yeah,
I know it, but
– yeah.
And when you get to work with like a real crew, They have the ability. Like, when you have,
right.
when I, like, it's an eight-camera shoot where it's production meetings all week and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then they have Ham and Eggers in there like that because, Trent Green played for Dick Vermeil. And, yeah, this guy made a bunch of bad draft picks. And, like, for a period of time, Matt Millen was one of the best analysts on TV.
Yeah.
And then he went and ran a football team into the ground for multiple years. And then after that, he became a crappy analyst.
Yeah. He can't even fart on guys anymore.
Now, I'm not anti-fart commentary, I'll tell you that right now.
Probably his best line of the whole time.
I mean, my God, some of the games I've called at 56 to nothing, I'm doing vaudeville, for God's sakes, to fill the final 5 minutes. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I like the actual color commentary part of
it. Yeah, yeah.
But when you dig deeper into this Bills-Dolphins game, Keith, and, you know, last week we know the Patriots lost to the Dolphins. Listen to this for the Bills.
Okay.
If I said to you, they scored on 35-0, right?
Yep.
How many double-digit play drives, 10 or more, how many double-digit play drives did the Buffalo Bills have in that game?
You'd probably think two or three, right?
One.
Well.
One. They got a 46-yard touchdown run early on a two-play drive.
Yeah, Singletary ripped off a
big run, right? And then it was Allen to Sanders, I think, on a chunk play on the second drive. Seven plays, 52 yards, and a touchdown.
Right.
Then listen to this. Three and out with a fumble. Three and out with a punt. Five and out with an interception. Three and out with a punt. Four and out with a punt. Missed field goal for Buffalo at the end of the half.
No, the numbers don't add up to what the score was. You think 35-0, and you think almost like what Tom Brady did. You know, like Tom Brady, they scored how many touchdowns? Their offense scored five. Their defense scored two more, I think. But you would think it would be something like that. Josh Allen was 17 of 33.
He was not.
Kind of gross.
Yeah.
Threw a pick in there. He took a sack, but it was under 200 yards passing. Did have two touchdowns. Devin Singletary had more than half of his yards on that one carry.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zach Moss had a couple touchdowns late, but didn't really do a whole lot. No, it's sort of a weird game for it to be 35-0. Also, part of it is Tua gets hurt, which has always sort of been one of the knocks on Tua.
By the way, a little bit of a guy,
probably get hurt.
How about this stat line? 1 for 4, 13 yards, and he was sacked twice.
gross.
It was bad.
And then Jacoby Brissett threw the ball 40 times for 169 yards.
You
want to complain about somebody getting the ball downfield? take a look at Jacoby Brissett.
Right.
But that's why, again, I was so frustrated by that Miami loss because you had it, and it's not a great team. I know they won 10 games a year ago, but I'm not a big Tua guy. I don't think they really – you know, they got Jalen Waddle, okay, but it's not a great defense.
And I think the bigger piece of this game is that the Bills did put up a bunch of points.
Yeah.
But offensively, they really didn't look much better than they did against the Pittsburgh Steelers in week one.
No, they didn't. They just were able to sort of the opposite of the Patriots. They didn't settle for any field goals. You know, like once they got it down, they had obviously the big Singletary run. But then the passes weren't really long passes. That Allen to Diggs pass, you know, they were in the red zone and he was able to get them. And it was kind of a broken play. It wasn't even like the route that they ran.
Yeah, and Moss had like 26 yards on eight carries but scored two touchdowns.
Yeah, so I mean, it was just, it was kind of a weird, kind of ugly game. But the Dolphins just had nothing going. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't throw the ball. Now, part of that's Brissett, but I'm not a huge Tua guy. So I don't know if Tua played the whole game, I don't think it would have been a whole lot different.
Yeah, and their defense gave it up. Now, I will say, I think the Miami defense played probably about as well as they could before ultimately the dam broke on them. Because, but again.
Yeah, it was 14-0 at the half, and then it was 21-0 going into the fourth.
Into the fourth.
Then Moss got those last two touchdowns. You're like, okay.
Yeah, you know, they were kind of.
The game was already over.
You don't want to say they're garbage time touchdowns, but in a lot of ways. But they offensively, Buffalo never put anything together consistently. And I think that's worth watching because not that it's a complete indictment on Josh Allen, don't get me wrong.
No, but it's not like the. Like we sort of talked about during what happened that, oh, maybe the Bills are back. I didn't say Josh Allen's back because he looked worse in week one. This was better, but it wasn't like a really sharp performance by any means from Allen.
Yeah, and when you look at some of the guys that are considered to be high-end quarterbacks in this league, Tom Brady, we'll see tonight from Aaron Rodgers. Now, he had a bad stinker, right? But Tom Brady.
Oh, but Wilson's been great.
Dak Prescott, right. Russell Wilson. You know, again, you know my regular season theory on Matthew Stafford. He was fine yesterday.
Yeah, nothing special. They got the win.
Yeah.
You know, nothing crazy.
But he hasn't like thrown it away. I think he had an interception in that game against Indianapolis. And but it didn't kill him. And ultimately the Rams won 27-24. But that was really the commentary on Josh Allen, is that if you've hit that level, then you're hitting the ground running next year in terms of your performance. And so far through 2 weeks, Josh Allen has looked more like the guy of 2 years ago than the dude who played last year.
Oh, definitely. Because there was thought, and myself included, that he could be a top five quarterback this year. And right now, he's not even playing like he's top 10 or top 15. Again, it's only two games. They have 15 more of these to sort of clear things up. But you know, a guy like Derek Carr or Kyler Murray, like those guys are off to much better starts than Josh Allen is.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. By the way, the Winners Club podcast, the boys John and Shine will be recapping the week two bets, and they will get the Winners Club podcast up tomorrow on WEEI.com. We are going to get the bad beats, but was there anything else in the AFC? So I know we'll do a deeper dive into week two tomorrow.
Yeah.
But was there anything else AFC related, Keith, that caught your eye in yesterday's results?
Yeah. I mean, the two of the games that we kind of had circled going in, I think, were Raiders Steelers, because they were both 1-0 and they both beat pretty good teams the week before. So somebody was going to be 2-0 with a pretty good resume, and it's the Raiders. Like, it's John Gruden, it's Derek Carr, Henry Ruggs, those guys, they look pretty good. And then I was ready to shovel dirt on Baltimore. I was ready to bury Baltimore because of all the injuries.
Oh, me too.
The bad first week loss. I'm like, oh, they're playing Kansas City. They're going to lose to Kansas City.
Yes.
They beat them. They beat them, and Lamar was great. John Harbaugh, the great call at the end. Well, he was great. Look, if you add it all up together, he was great.
Yeah, with the rushing yards and all that.
Because even Mahomes had a horrible pick. Like,
The one falling down.
What are we doing?
Right.
Chris Collinsworth was like, oh, go get him. Sometimes you got to make a play. You're like, I wouldn't make that play.
Omar Esiason did that in Three Rivers Stadium in 1985 against the Steelers, and it worked, and we won.
But you might have to keep Baltimore around a little bit longer. I mean, that is a marquee win against Kansas City. Even though it was a home game for Baltimore, whatever. It's a Sunday night primetime game. All those injuries on offense and on defense. That was a big win.
We're going to do some bad beats when we get into the Monday Night Football game tonight and get into our gambling there, because James White joins us next on Patriots Monday.
Gresh and Keefe.
My ass is sublime.
That's not fair.
Tell a friend about Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Yesterday in New Jersey, as weird as it sounds, the New England Patriots got a 25-6 win over the New York Jets. It is Patriots Monday, and that means it's time for our conversation with James White, who joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. He is brought to us by Zuti. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details, and by Boston Beer, truly hard seltzer. James White, good afternoon. A hard-fought victory yesterday. What was it like in the locker room after the game, considering how crushing the Miami loss was the week before?
Hey, bro, definitely happy to get out the game with a win. Definitely wanted to bounce back and improve, playing another division opponent. And you know, every time we play those guys, it's never easy. So definitely happy to get a win versus a division team.
What was last week of practice like for your position group after not you, but two other guys in that room fumbled last week? We heard Ivan Fears talking to the media, and he obviously was preaching ball security. But what was that week of practice like for you guys?
You know, nothing was different for us. Ball security is always an emphasis for us each and every day we're out at practice. I mean, maybe it's a little bit more at the forefront of people's minds, but nothing changed for us at practice. We just keep going hard, keep running hard, and just protect the football when Sunday rolls around.
Yeah, James, I want to ask you about pass protection, because I think it is forgotten by a lot of fans that within the context of an offense, there are times where you running backs have to be on alert, picking up linebackers, blitzes, things of that nature. Can you kind of just walk us through a little bit that transition maybe that you went through early in your career to get to a point to where you're just not a guy that they're throwing the ball to out of the backfield and that you can be competitive in those situations? How big of a jump is it from one level to the other in the NFL where you got grown men running at you?
I mean, it's just understanding the blocking schemes and understanding what we're trying to get done, being able to communicate with the offensive line and the quarterbacks and just knowing who to block and knowing what to look at so you can actually pick it up. And then once you're in protection, just doing whatever you can to keep the guy away from the quarterback so the quarterback can throw the football. So I think that's just what it's all about once you understand the protection schemes that you're using. I think that's what's most important.
How did you think Mac Jones played in his second game? Heard some of the reports that he was pretty hard on himself after the first game. Obviously, you guys coming up short, but how do you think he looked his first road game of the year?
It's not really my job to evaluate him, but he's just competing each and every day, trying to improve. I mean, each and every one of us, we're probably our own toughest critic, so I mean, I'm sure he wants to play perfect out there, but none of us are going to play perfect. He's continuously learning and trying to get better, and that's all we can ask for.
How do you feel that your chemistry, just yours with him, has gone? Because, again, even if you count practice, it hasn't really been all that long that you two have been teammates.
We're just going to continue to grow. My chemistry with him and with the chemistry as an offense as a whole, like, we have a lot of new players out there, some that, haven't played for the Patriots organization, so we're still trying to build. Obviously, I think we left a lot of yards out on the field yesterday. So there's things we're going to watch the film, correct off of it. And this is so much, better things that we can do. I think we all know that. And I said, hopefully we continue to improve each and every week.
Patriots running back James White with us on the Harbor One Hotline. And our interview with James is brought to you by Verizon. I know Mac Jones was throwing bouquets your way, James White, talking about how you're a guy that he can rely on and that you're somebody who, can pick him up maybe if there is that little bit of a stumble. I'm curious from your end, James, like, how assertive do you have to be in certain situations like that? I know Rich asked you about, the chemistry developing between you two, but he basically said after the game that he counts on you for a lot in terms of staying on the straight and narrow out there.
Well, I mean, for me, I'm just want to keep him even killed out there. Like I said, being a young quarterback is not an easy job whatsoever. So for us, I keep saying this, for us as an offense, especially a lot of the veteran guys, we have to do our job that much better. So I just want to be the best me out there, and I think that's what will help him the most.
Do you say anything to Ramondre Stevenson after he's inactive for the second game, after being active in the first game of the year, fumbling, getting benched, and then now we haven't seen him since? Do you say anything to him, or is it, he's a professional and he can figure it out on his own?
I mean, we're all professionals. I mean, we all know that we have a lot of talented running backs. We know that we're all probably not going to be active each and every week. And that's it. Just go out there on the practice field and practice hard, and your opportunity will come. And I mean, you have to be able to, answer the bell whenever that opportunity does come. I think most of the guys in our room right now currently have been through a similar situation, being inactive sometimes. So we all know what he's going through. He just has to stay motivated, and when his number's called, I know he'll be ready.
I want to get your thoughts on something that your coach, Bill Belichick, said this morning on the Greg Hill Show. He was asked about you and Mac Jones playing together, or Mac Jones and his appreciation for playing with you, and this is what he had to say.
Well, I think every quarterback that plays with James White loves playing with James White. He's a talented player that's very consistent and makes good decisions to help the quarterback. He's the type of a back that knows what to do, does the right thing, and the quarterback has a lot of confidence in him. I think every quarterback would love playing with James White.
He doesn't throw a ton of compliments around, James, so when you hear something like that, what do you think?
I mean, it means I need to keep doing my job. That's what I think. Like I said, we still have a long season to go, and like I said, I want to be whatever I can to this team to help my team win football games. Like I said, I want to help Mac feel comfortable back there, and like I said, whether it's me running the ball, catching, blocking, just want to do whatever I can to make his life easier.
James, have you turned the page to New Orleans yet, or is today the day you take a breath and dive into it tomorrow and Wednesday?
I just watched the Jets film a little bit, then you know, turn it over to the Saints. They're a good football team. They have a good defense and a lot of talented guys on that defense. So you got to study up on them because it'd be a great challenge.
James, thanks for the time. We'll catch you next week. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, James.
James White with us on the Harbor One Hotline. Again, brought to you by Zooty, by Boston Beer, Truly Hard Seltzer, and by Verizon. You know, there's got to be that, like, there are certain people in your life that when you hear stuff from, and it's like, oh.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Not everybody, like, is, you know, just wants to hear a whole bunch of compliments about themselves, but
please, I'll take
but
one.
But yeah, if anybody asks, why you call else. In? Let us know how it feels.
95% the other way. Please.
But and even the longer version of that answer from Bill, he also referenced Kevin Falk, Troy Brown, Deion Branch, and though that is the company James White is in, and James White is going to be a team Hall of Famer at some point. I know there's going to be a bit of a log jam. There's a lot of guys that need to get in. But James has been a part of so many good teams and was a part of so many big moments. So you go back to that Falcon Super Bowl.
I mean, that's the one,
he's
right?
He's going to get in,
like,
there.
He's in just because of that.
Probably. Let alone, I mean, what his record is as a player on the Patriots is just off the charts. And it's like he, of all guys, needed a change of quarterback. Cam Newton just, it didn't work. They didn't complement each other. Nobody's fault. It just wasn't. It's not you, it's me. Yeah, it's both of us. But for Mac Jones, like, he needs a guy like James White. And James White seems to be a little bit, I don't know, not more fired up necessarily, but just he's in the perfect spot where he can factor into the run game. He's going to catch a bunch of passes, be on the field a whole lot. And he's also one of those guys like Brown and like Branch that if you asked a random Ravens or Steelers or Raiders fan, what do you think of James White? They're like, yeah, he's on the Patriots, right? He's probably fine. But then you ask a Patriots fan, they're like, oh, my God, you don't win without this guy. This guy's everything. Like, he is one of Belichick's guys.
Are you buying something that I said before the season in that James White might be the leading pass catcher on this team?
Man, he might be, especially because my choice was Jonnu Smith. Yep. I went with a tight end. But if he's already fighting injuries right now and dealing with that this early in the season, it could absolutely be James White. It's probably going to be three or four guys all close. Like, there might not be five catches that separate
within, like,
White, Myers, Smith. Like, they're going to be all
within 10 to 15 catches of each other definitely. By the end of the year. Yeah. And I don't 70s. Think they've actually busted out some of the stuff that James White can really do yet. I know they've done screens, maybe a wheel route out in the flat.
How about his throw? But, his little throw?
Well, there you go.
I forgot to ask him about that.
Nah, I mean, it was a...
he's done that before. We've asked him about it.
He
in
did.
The past.
Yeah. Well, you know, Keith, it's really an indictment on Mac because on that play, right. He could have thrown it 5 yards further down the field, which would have been a deep shot.
That's
but
true.
Instead, he threw it to the open guy.
Took the easy way out.
That's exactly right. We're heading into the final hour of Gresh and Keith. We know the Patriots got a win. We got Monday Night Football to get to, Bad Beats to get to with you, and coming up, the best of Fitzy from MetLife Stadium. Guess he didn't get beat up this time.
No, I'm sure he ran into some characters, though.
I'm sure he did. We'll hear that as well. Final hour, Gresh and Keefe next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.